Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Andrew Porter Show, 12:01. Welcome in. You can read me at CBSPhillySports.com. Listen and subscribe to my Pulse of Philly podcast on iTunes. Tweet me at AND_Porter. 888-729-9494 gets you in. And I posted this poll question on my Twitter, and this is what we're talking about because we're in the interesting business. And I opened up and I said, look, Eagles, Phillies, Flyers, Sixers. This is a 4-for-4 sports town. It's a sports radio station. It's not an Eagle station. It's not a Philly station. It's not a Sixer station. It's not a Flyer station. Obviously, it sounds like an Eagle station most of the time, but that's because it's an interesting business. We're in the entertainment business, and what you guys like to hear and listen and talk about is football. The NFL dominates. But to me, there's no doubt about it. Right now, it's not even close, and 52% of 600-plus votes agree with me. The Sixers are the most interesting team in the city right now. And that's indicative because it's July 10th or June 10th. It's indicative because the NBA draft is looming. It's indicative because it's OTAs and it's fodder. It's NFL nonsense time. It's indicative because the Sixers are very close in building something special. And I talked about this and I said there's two really possible outcomes for the Sixers right now. And that's what's exciting about it. And one outcome is Joel Embiid never really surfaces and never plays and he never becomes anything and he gets hurt and his career dies out. But the other option is really, 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 really exciting because the other option is he does have a long career alongside Ben Simmons and you're really looking at a potential dynasty with the Sixers because maybe not dynasty, but at least sustained success and playoff success because of the way the NBA is set up. If you hit and if you can capture that strong stability of an NBA team, you're going to have success for multiple seasons, especially if you have young stars. In football, you just don't know. There's too many variables, too many things that can happen. It's really hard to pinpoint a time where the Patriots have done it and the Eagles did it with Donovan and Andy, but it's just hard to do because there's so many things that go up and down. You look at the Steelers and the Giants and teams that go from 8-8 to 9-10. Or to 9-10 wins and stuff like that. The Falcons and the Ravens and all these teams go up and down the pendulum. That's the way the NFL works. And it's harder to, capture that. The Flyers are obviously, they have more work to do than the Sixers. They're building there, but they have a lot of work to do. And then the Phillies are years away. So you look at the Sixers and it's exciting. It's promising. It's fun to talk about. We're weeks away from the draft and they're on the precipice of something special here. Ed Kras, who writes for he's an Eagles beat writer for the Calkins Media, Bucks County Courier Times, and I have respect for Ed. I'm sure he's been in business for a while, but he really is mad at me now because I said that. I said the Sixers are more interesting, and he says, he quoted the tweet, "You must not be around town for a while, or you must have just got here," something like that. And I was like, okay, I've been here my whole life, but I said interesting, not popular. The Eagles are more popular because the NFL is more popular. But in the course of Philadelphia history, the team that's dominated the city is the team that's been the most interesting and the team that's been the most successful. Like, it was the Flyers in the 70s. It was the Sixers in the 80s. It was the Phillies in 08. It was, you know, when teams make a run, we gravitate towards those teams. And when teams get more, it's just like any city. But I mean, obviously the natural inclination is if all is status quo, the Eagles are the most interesting because every game is interesting. And we watch the NFL. We watch NFL nationally. We don't watch Cardinals Brewers on a Sunday night because we don't care. We don't watch Predators Penguins because we don't care. It's a cute story. La Violette, go Predators. We don't care. We just don't. And, you know, we don't watch those games nationally. We watch our local teams and we watch the NFL. So that's why it's more popular. But right now in Philadelphia, the Eagles are not interesting. They're just not. It just doesn't matter. The OTA, and just because beat writers, just because they have a ton of beat writers tweeting about every play in the OTAs doesn't make it more interesting than the Sixers. People don't care about, you know, what happened in practice and how many catches Mac Hollins had in practice today, or Shelton Gibson's route running, or Nelson Aguilar's whiteboard. It's just nonsense, and people know that. They're not. It's all draft. It's all NFL OTA fodder. It's nonsense, and no, people are too smart for that. The Sixers are. It's real meat there. Like the Sixers, the content is real. What they will do in the draft at number 3, how they will approach free agency, how Embiid and Simmons will look together, their health, you know, the way they build, Brett Brown's status. The Sixers are close here, and people can sense that. They can feel that, and that's real. Look, the BGN radio was on from 8 to 10. They got 3 calls. They did a 2-hour show on the Eagles and got 3 calls. I've been on for 2 hours and talking Sixers, and I've had 12 calls. You guys dominate the conversation. You guys tell us what's interesting. And right now, you're saying, look, the Eagles will always get the clicks and they'll always get the content because people care about the Eagles. But right now, the Sixers, look at the draft party, the lottery party at Xfinity Live. There was thousands of people there. It was national news. I mean, right now, what the Sixers have done to us is they've cultivated us. And I've said, like, they've stripped us from success, and they've started this whole thing over, so we've become attached to this team because of what we've been through, because of the way the national media has made fun of us, because of the process and Sam Hinkie and the way it's homegrown and it's our guys. And that's why we love that Phillies team so much, because it was homegrown and it was our guys. And that's, we're getting that sort of feel with the Sixers. And the way Joel Embiid, I mean, January was incredible. January was more exciting than any stretch of the Eagles season last year. Just January for the Sixers. And I know people, maybe that's a debatable point, but I'm not talking about like mass popularity with the Eagles. Obviously, more people are following the Eagles because it's the NFL, it's the Eagles. But the way that building felt, the way that the electricity in the building, it was real. It wasn't fake. It wasn't like, oh, we hope we go 9-7 and sneak into the playoffs. Like, it was real. It was like, wow. We have a star player, and right now Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons are bigger than Carson Wentz right now to me. They're bigger, and we love Carson Wentz, but those guys excite us because we can foresee it. We can foresee championships with those two. We are smart, rational fans, and we know the Eagles, man. They tell us every June that they're going to be the best team in the NFL, and we're not sure about Doug Peterson, and deep down we're not even sure about Carson Wentz. We hope and we think. We just don't know. It's too hard in the NFL. There's too many variables, injuries, ups and downs, and coaching and front office and everything. But with the NBA, we can see it. We saw Ben Simmons become the first player in 30 years in college to average 19, 12, and 5. And we see what he can do with his left hand, right hand, dribble, pass, 6'10", get to the rim, in transition, mid-range, dominant, athletic, hungry, working out, freak of nature, 3 times a day, eating, sleeping, chefs, determined to win. We see that grind. Rich Paul is his agent. LeBron's his mentor. We see the stardom. His dad was a pro in Australia. We can smell it. Joel Embiid, a 7'2 guy who can make threes and make foul shots. An unbelievable personality. Like, that is evident. That is right in front of our face. Staring at us, Dario Saric, the guy who said he wanted to come over early, and Howard said, when will they land the plane? And we said, screw you, Howard. He's here. Look at this guy. 30% from three coming over from a foreign country as a rookie, underrated. He looks comfortable shooting the ball, passing the ball, dribbling the ball. Another 6'9 player who can do it all, a stretch four, who really does everything on the court. Robert Covington, a second-round pick in TLC, and we see it all. And we have a coach who we believe in, who we don't need results to vindicate that. We don't need him to win games for us to know he's a great coach. We already know he's a great coach. We've already latched our arms around Brett Brown and say, go win, because we know you're going to win when the players get good. We saw what you did with TJ McConnell and Gerald Henderson and Robert Covington. We saw how you've been with those guys. We've seen what you've gone through, and we see how smart you are and how good of a coach you are. I would sign Brett Brown to a 25-year deal right now if I could. I mean, I know he's a good coach. I don't need him to win 80. I don't need him to win 50 games to prove it, because he's going to win 50 games when he gets good players. Phil Jackson needed good players. Steve Kerr has good players. Doesn't mean he's, you know, they're bad coaches or anything, but you need good players. That's all. You need good players. Brett Brown has a system. He's strong. He's convicted. He's smart. He knows what he's doing. He has tutelage. He was with the Spurs. He scouts good players. He's been in Australia. He's a good NBA coach. Now, the GM, I don't know about, but everything else, man, we can see it and we can feel it. And that's what's exciting about the Sixers. The Eagles, it's the Eagles, and we love the Eagles, and we love the NFL. But we can't say those things. All we can say for sure about the Eagles is they're in the toughest division in football with three teams that are really good, and the Cowboys are the favorites, and they have a young quarterback and a young running back who aren't going anywhere. That's scary, and that's real. Like, that's all we know. We can only operate off of what we know. We can hope and hope and hope, but what we know is what we know, and the Sixers are the most interesting and exciting team in the city right now. Gus in Allentown, you're on WIP. What's up, Gus? Good call. What's up?
Yeah, Andrew, I completely agree with you that the Sixers have put themselves in by far the best position to really go forward in this city. As a matter of fact, they're the only one that has put themselves in such a position. I think you can make half a point, or I can go halfway with you on the NBA. I think there's things in the NBA that you can get excited about. I think the Warriors are a tremendous team. I think Kevin Durant's almost too good to be true. A non-egotistical, fearless superstar. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah,
I mean,
you could say the same about LeBron right now.
There's nothing about Kevin Durant that you can whine or complain about. He is amazing.
No, I agree. And you could say the same about LeBron.
I can't say the same about LeBron, because LeBron doesn't take the last shot. LeBron is always waiting around for somebody else to no. LeBron is not the egoless, fearless performer that Durant is. He isn't.
I disagree.
Other things you might say for him, but he doesn't have, and he will never get the kind of full court, you know, full aboard, everybody aboard. Let's face it, LeBron has his critics. I don't know how anybody in their right mind can criticize Kevin Durant. I just don't. There's nothing in his game you can criticize. But let me just say this: Major League Baseball is abysmal right now.
Abysmal.
It's
abysmal.
The worst it's ever been.
I agree. Unwatchable. It's almost unwatchable.
And the NFL ain't far behind. The NFL is a very, very overrated product. It's over-officiated.
Totally agree.
And, you know, how many players do you really look forward to watch on Sunday? I look forward to watch Aaron Rodgers when he's hot.
Take away gambling and take away fantasy, and people don't care about the NFL.
And Russell Wilson's an exciting player. But generally speaking, you have a robotical dynasty in the Patriots, who really are a boring team to watch. And they win mostly because the other team self-destructs or does something stupid.
Yep.
And they have a coach that makes everybody else look like they're mentally challenged sandbox performers. I mean, they're just awful. I mean, the coaching and the, you know, I think you'll agree with me on this. Chip Kelly didn't work out, but this league desperately needs somebody new.
They need innovative minds.
To do something.
Gus, how boring are these coaches? I agree with you. I mean, like, the way they conduct themselves. I mean, Doug Peterson is probably a smart football mind, but he doesn't come off like that.
Oh, he comes off like a real dullard, I hate to tell you.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Gus.
Okay, bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I don't know that. Look, LeBron, to me, the last shot thing. Look, this is the thing with LeBron. I think LeBron James is LeBron James is the greatest athlete that I've ever seen in my lifetime, and I think you can make the case that it doesn't matter how old you are, you can make the case he's the greatest athlete that you've ever seen. Like, I think anybody can make that legitimate case. I think you can make the case he's the greatest basketball player of all time. Jordan's probably better. The case for LeBron could be made. He has a ways to go, but he's a top five player of all time. That's really not debatable. He's better than Kobe in every category. He's better than Kobe. It's not debatable. He's top five of all time. To me, Magic is LeBron and Kobe is Jordan in a different level. Those two, you know, they pair with each other. The reason I love LeBron James, and like, first of all, besides the person he is and what he's done off the floor and the way he's, you know, donated and all that stuff and all that, he's a great guy, because that matters to me. I don't know why, but the way I was raised and the way I was taught, that stuff matters to me. The way he's a teammate, the way he likes to be liked, because that's how I would be. Like, I would be a star like LeBron. Like, I would want my opponents to like me. I would want the league to like me. I would want people to like me. I would want my teammates to like me. I wouldn't have the personality of Jordan and Kobe, or Iverson, who, you know, I've played basketball my whole life. I played in high school, and I could never take 30 shots a game. And if I missed shots, I couldn't just keep shooting until I made shots. Like, I don't have that gene in me. And I think, you know, I was taught to play unselfish basketball, and that's what LeBron, that's how he learned the game. He learned to be an unselfish player. What makes LeBron not Kobe and not Jordan is the fact that he would make that pass to Kyle Korver. He's able to get a triple-double, drive the lane, get double-teamed, and still make the correct pass to Kyle Korver, who has an open three. Yeah, he missed a shot. But Jordan or Kobe would take that shot regardless. Like, it's blinders. It's game over. Give me the ball and I'm going to shoot it. But that's not the way basketball's played. That's not the right way to play the game. That's not how I was taught to play the game. And that's why I like LeBron James. That's why I gravitate towards LeBron, because that's the type of player I like and I was. So, like, you know, it's just preference at this point. But what LeBron does is just, his numbers are just insane. Like, you know, all-time NBA Finals triple doubles and all the most playoff points. And, I mean, he's top 10 of all time in every category. I mean, it's unprecedented, his numbers. And yeah, he's going to be 3-5 in the finals, but the teams that he's played against and the teams he's took to the finals, we can debate it ad nauseum. Who's the GOAT? It's fun for ESPN and all these TV channels. Who really cares? The point is, LeBron could play with MJ. You can, if you're drafting a team, you want MJ as your 2 and LeBron as your 3. You know, Kobe's not on that team. MJ is your 2 and LeBron's your 3. They can coexist. They can play together, and that's what makes LeBron so special. He can do everything. He's a chameleon. He can play every. Kobe and MJ can't coexist. You know, LeBron is that kind of player. He is the first guy you want to draft. There's an expansion draft, you want LeBron James, because he makes everybody better. He creates everything. He's the motor. He's the motor for every team. And I just think it's a rare time in sports where the greatest athlete in the game, I mean, Brady too, really, you look at Brady and LeBron and what they've done for their sports and what they've done off the court, you know, nothing. They don't do, you know why they're not in the news? Because all they do is eat, sleep, and breathe basketball and football. Like, that's all they do. Brady just works out and eats kale. Like, LeBron just, LeBron is ripped. They don't eat any, like, they're just superhuman. They're going to play forever. They're just obsessed with being great. And, like, it's refreshing to me. I don't know. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's too robotic for people. But, you know, different players do it different ways. Kobe did it his way. LeBron does it his way. And I like LeBron. I prefer that style. I can resonate with that more. 888-729-9494. What else do I have on tap? We're talking everything Sixers. I got some other stuff. We got questions from John and James before did the Eagles questions I gave to Caesar, but we'll do it Sixers style. They did it Eagles style. We'll do it Sixers style. Yeah, whatever. Other stuff. We'll get into it. 888-729-9494. Andrew Porter Show, WIP Sports Times, 1219. Andrew Porter, 1223. Talking about the Sixers and the promising future they have. And I talked about this talked a little bit of NBA draft, and I talked about Jason Tatum as the guy I think they should take with the third pick, and I know I'm in the minority, and I'm not trying to be a contrarian. There's just a lot of options, and I think that for the Sixers, they need a guy with a high floor, and I think Tatum has the second highest floor in the draft. I think he's an NBA-ready body who will score right away. I think he will be an above-average NBA three-point shooter, and I think he'll do exactly what we think he will in the NBA. And with when you have Simmons and Embiid and you have that structure, I think you can't afford to draft a guy with more of a volatile, you know, upside-downside possibility. Jackson, to me, does have upside. You know, I guess he could be Kawhi Leonard if his offensive game develops, but his downside is Thad Young, and he shot 56% from the line, and he does. You watch him play, and he doesn't look offensively comfortable. He doesn't look. He didn't shoot many threes. He didn't really shoot the ball at all. Most of his points come on layups and dunks. And if athletically, if he gets matched at that size and strength and speed in the NBA, which he will, you know, how does he score? He's not a great ball handler. He's not a great offensive player. You know, he just isn't. He's going to score in transition on layups and dunks, and hopefully he can develop an offensive game and work on it. But to me, there's a potential downside, and his floor is risky. Monk, I think, will be a good offensive player and will fit here with the Sixers at two, and he's definitely a potential option. But again, he's a 6'3", skinny two guard who at times in college, he got shut down. And there's just more of a risk there, and I don't think the Sixers can afford a miss here. So to me, Tatum is the safest player other than Markelle Fultz. He's going to score. He's 6'8". He's going to play the three. He's got an NBA body already. He's a smart kid with his head on his shoulders. His dad was a professional athlete. He lived with his mom growing up. He's been through a lot. He has a chip on his shoulder. I just don't see him struggling in the NBA to score. He can score really lefty-righty to the basket mid-range, and he can shoot threes. So to me, it's Jason Tatum. And I know, look, I like Jonathan Isaac. I like Dennis Smith. I really like De'Aaron Fox, too. He just can't shoot, and I think if you have to go for fit here. It's the Sixers are in a unique position where they have so many pieces in place that this is such a rare opportunity for a team to take that next leap. You're not really looking for a superstar because you have to. You have to in your mind. You have Saric. You have TLC. You have Covington. You have cap space. You have potential veterans coming over. You know, you have so much going on. I think Tatum is the fit here. And he's the right play at three, but who knows? There's so many different ways they can go. Jim in Havertown, you're on WIP. What's up, Jim?
Andrew, what's up, buddy? I haven't talked to you in a long time.
I know, I haven't been on in a little bit. Thanks for calling me. It's good to hear from you.
You too, brother. Yeah, dude, you know, I think I told you before, dude. I'm going to talk to you like I talked to my friends in the bar, friends I grew up with. So,
I love
you know,
it.
We bust each other's chops a little bit back and forth.
Give it to me. I know you disagree with me.
No, I don't. I agree. You know I'm big time. What's his name? I'm sure you remember Simmons guy. So
yeah.
Anybody who doesn't see the light of day with that kid just doesn't know basketball.
I know. I can't
but
wait.
But you just said something that struck me a little funny right there, dude. You said the kid got an NBA body already. Dude, did Bubba Chuck have an NBA body?
No, but he was ridiculous. I mean, he's number one overall pick.
I'll give you an old school one, dude. You remember, you're probably not old enough, but you've probably seen films. I know you're a big basketball junkie, too. George Gervin, dude. He was the slightest built guy, I think, in the whole NBA.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not.
I'm not hammering you for it. I'm just saying,
yeah.
You know, of course, there's anomalies.
No, I'm just saying that's a positive attribute of Tatum is that he does have an NBA body for a small forward.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's obviously good counter examples on your part.
Yeah, right. Dude, but I was going to say, you can't coach height, you can't coach speed and strength. I mean, you can talk them into it and try to get them bigger, but some body types, dude, unless you want to, you know, excuse me, do steroids or something. Like Doc was
right.
In great shape, but he was thin build, you know?
Right, right. I mean, like Iverson was obviously small and whatever, but he averaged 20 points as a freshman at Georgetown and 25 points as a sophomore. Like, he was clearly an elite scorer. So, like, regardless of his body, it doesn't. And Monk looks like he could be an elite scorer, too. He averaged 19 at Kentucky, so I like Monk,
you know,
too.
As basketball crazy as I am, Andrew, I do not follow college. A little bit I do during the season, and I definitely watch the tournament. So
right.
That's when I get in tune to all of it.
Right.
But I really don't know these guys really well enough. Nobody really stood out to me a whole lot.
Yeah.
But I've seen Monk is really good, no doubt. No doubt.
Yeah, and Jim, I think that's a little bit sometimes, you know, we as fans, we look to media and we look to radio and TV and YouTube and internet for, you know, more so information on these college players, because it's just hard to follow college, you know, at all these conferences. So you guys,
and you see, I'm a caveman dude when it comes to what's in the computer stuff. And I mean, I used to do a little bit, but I got bored with it. I find television just as interesting.
Right. So you, and there's good guys on TV, and you'll hear it, but it's hard to learn about these prospects. We kind of like the narrative gets out there, like Jackson or whoever, and you kind of have to go off of what we hear. So it's different. It's who you like, and I don't know. It's a good draft.
Whatever happened to ESPN just showing me nothing but highlights, man? I can't stand their Sports Center anymore.
Yeah,
because it's all talk stuff now, man.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Jim. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to hang up for you. I thought your point was done, but ESPN is it's because, again, Jim obviously doesn't use computers. He's on the caveman, but I mean, we can get a highlight. I mean, I don't need to watch. I haven't watched Sports Center in years. Because, I mean, I watch SportsCenter. Think about, I was just talking to my roommate about this, my friend, and we were saying, like, how crazy was it that, like, the NBA Finals would happen, and to watch the highlights, you'd have to watch SportsCenter. Like, you couldn't go on YouTube or Reddit or Twitter or Facebook and watch the game or highlights or anything. You'd have to wait for 11 o'clock sports. You'd watch the same Sports Center over and over again. And then, like, if you go even back further, we would wait for the newspapers in the morning. We would watch the scrolls for scores, the ticker. It's like, it's so archaic now. You literally just go on Twitter, search anything. I can get LeBron's dunk. I mean, anything you want. Speaking of LeBron's dunk off the backboard, I put this in my notes because I saw this tweet when I was getting ready for the show. Chris Broussard, it was fine. I don't dislike him, but his podcast title, or like he tweeted this question. I thought it was hilarious. And this is like an example of the media cycle now and the way like we react to these things. But he tweeted, "Was LeBron's dunk off the glass most spectacular in finals history?" What the heck kind of question is that? Wasn't he was like caught in midair and it was like kind of awkward and he dunked over. It was cool. It was great. And like, he's the best player. Great. This is the best dunk. What are you going to go through every dunk in NBA Finals history? Like his dunk in game 4 was better. Dunk in game 3. I mean, like, I don't know. That's what we do now. It's like we see something happens and we react like greatest ever. Like LeBron has to be like greatest ever, greatest of all time. Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time. Belichick's the greatest coach of all time. Everything's all time. Everything's greatest of all time. But it's just weird. It's so weird how we're doing that all the time now. The greatest clutch shot of all time. It's just Durant's moment where he lived for this moment and he needed that shot. It's his all-time shot. Like, what? He just hit a shot. He hit that shot a million times. And look, we're so results-based. I talked about this with Brett Brown, but we're so results-based in sports. Here's another one of my rants. But, like, we are so focused on what happens. So, like, for example, the Golden State Warriors go up 3-0. They literally win a game by a shot. Like they were down 5 points with 3 minutes to go. They come back and win the game. They're up 3-0. And now they're talking about the Warriors are unbelievable. What are we going to do next year when they're going to win 6 championships in a row? Literally. They're going to win forever. They might never lose another game. Like, they are so good. It's unfair. LeBron's going to LA. How will Paul George come to Cleveland? What will LeBron do? It's unbelievable. The next day, Cleveland drops 86 points at halftime and wins 137-116. Cleveland is literally inches away. If Durant's shot is 1 inch short or 1 inch long, it's 2-2 and it's a tied series. And Cleveland's the defending champ, not Golden State. And they split the regular season series 1-1. Obviously, Golden State's a better team, but can we calm down a second? Cleveland's pretty freaking good, too. Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving's the best 1-on-1 player in the game. Kevin Love's an amazing power forward who can shoot threes, and LeBron's the best player in basketball. It's pretty close. And if some crazy miracle way Cleveland wins game 5 and comes back home for game 6... who knows? It's not outlandish. I mean, Cleveland should have won game 3. It should be a 2-2 series. And game game one was pretty much a blowout, but game two was pretty much close through three quarters. Cleveland State hung in there. It wasn't a complete blowout. And obviously Golden State is more consistent. Their offense flows and their jump shooting is more consistent. They don't rely on their shot as much. Cleveland is more streaky. But I mean, it's not this, the separation isn't enormous. Golden State's not going to win the next 95 championships. We need to take a deep breath and relax. I mean, everything is so results-based oriented. I didn't need Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant didn't need to go to Golden State and win a championship to prove anything. He was already the second best player in the NBA on Oklahoma City. We all saw that. We've all acknowledged that. He isn't now all of a sudden, oh, Paul Pierce, passing of the torch, he's the best player in the NBA. Why? Because he hit one shot and won two games? LeBron's been the best player in the NBA for 12 years. Kevin Durant's been the second best player in the NBA for 8 years. Steph Curry's been the best point guard in the NBA for the past 4 years. Klay Thompson's the best 3-and-D player in the NBA for the past 3 years. Draymond Green's the best second best all-around player to LeBron. And Kyrie's the best one-on-one player, and Kevin Love's the best stretch four who can shoot threes. That was established like in 2014. We've seen that for the past three. We didn't need this NBA Finals to. Why do we keep rewriting the narratives? Like, this guy's the best. Kyrie's handles are amazing. He's the best one-on-one. Kyrie hit the shot. We saw it last year. He dropped 40 last year. Like, these guys are who they are. We don't need. Matt Ryan isn't all of a sudden a good quarterback because he won 12 games and went to the Super Bowl. Look at Matt Ryan's stats. For 8 straight seasons, he's thrown for 3,500 yards. Like, Matt Ryan's obviously good at football. Why does, just because his team got better and they stayed healthy and they got a couple lucky bounces and now they're in the Super Bowl, doesn't make him a Hall of Fame quarterback now. And just because he lost the game and Brady came back, doesn't make him bad now. Like, it's just, it's, why can't there be some stability in our opinions? Why are we so flexible and so like flimsy on our opinions? I have an opinion on a player, and I stick with it. I don't care if Tom Brady goes 2-14 next year and throws 100 interceptions. He's still great. Like Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, there's certain players and coaches that are established. They are established entities. Mike Tomlin and these guys are, Andy Reid's a good football coach. He can go 4-12 with the Eagles and get fired, but you can't just completely ignore the last 12 years where he was the second best team in the NFL for 12 straight seasons. Like, there's no stability in sports, and it's all results based. It's so results based. We have no foresight. We have no foresight to say, well, we say, well, Ben Simmons, I don't know. How can you say he's going to be good? Never seen him. What do you mean? You can say, well, he's the number one pick, and he won 3 straight high school championships, and he had 19, 12, and 5 in college, and he's 6'10". I don't know. I'm going to guess he's pretty freaking good. Like, I don't need to see Ben Simmons average 22 points and win an NBA championship for me to say he's good. Like, I think he's going to be good because he was good in college. It's just we're very results-based in sports, and we need to be validated based on a lot of times on wins and losses too. And especially like in football with quarterbacks, it's crazy how it's like they're not even on the field. Like Brady wasn't even on the field when Russell Wilson throws the interception, and he's, oh, what a comeback. Brady did it again. Like Brady's a great quarterback, but whether he wins, if LeBron loses the finals or wins the finals, it's not going to change my opinion on LeBron James. And I don't understand, like, if he comes back from 3-0 now, he's better than Jordan. Why? If you think he's better than Jordan, then he's better than Jordan. If you don't, then you don't. But he's an established player. He's played 12 years in the league. So he's 32. You know exactly what LeBron is. I don't need him to win more championships to show me who's better. Just because Kobe is 5 and LeBron is 3 and Magic is 3 and Bird is 2 and Kareem is, Bill Russell is 11. Like, it's so arbitrary. That's my rant. Is that good?
Yeah, I think you summed it up. It's arbitrary.
For 12:30 and 12:38, I thought that was a pretty good rant. I felt good on that for the most part. There was a couple of points in there where I disagree with myself. Like, you know, when you like say something and you're like, maybe not, but I just like kept going with it. Andrew Porter Show. We're gonna do some questions next, like Sixers questions. We'll do that next segment, I guess. It'll be fun. I'm kind of out of stuff. I have my top 5 TV shows I wrote down. It's like the cheesiest topic just to get some conversation. I was like trying to plan the show tonight. I'm like, what the heck am I going to talk about? It's June 10th. Only thing that's interesting is the Sixers. So I talked about the Sixers. 12 calls. 12 calls in 2 hours. See, people know. People dictate it. I don't know. 888-729-9494. Andrew Porter Show. WIP Sports Times 1239. Andrew Porter Show, 1245, Vince Quinn at 2 a.m. Look, we were just talking about my rant with the results-based thing. Me and Caesar were talking in the break. There's no better example than in the NFL, 4th and 1. 4th and 1 from the 50-yard line. Coach goes for it, doesn't get it. All day on WIP, we're killing Doug Peterson. But no one will acknowledge that, well, 4th and 1 from the 50-yard line, you can either punt or you can either go for it. It's probably a tough decision. I don't know. It's hard. Like, you don't know what you would do. He could have made either decision, and if it works, you love it, and if you don't work, you hate it. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts. I'm sure, like, the EV is, like, all positive for both sides. It's probably not, like, a big, like, oh, you should definitely not do that, like, on either side. It's like, exactly. You know, you got the game. It takes, you know, where you're at in the game, the situation. It's all.
But we only care about the result, and that's how it is. And, like, we would literally want the coach fired if the running back, like, remember when, like, I don't know, it was like
the Redskins game
2 years ago when DeMarco Murray fumbled, and it was like we were freaking out about, like, ah, it's just like football is crazy. Like Wendell Smallwood fumbles, and how is it?
Yeah, look at the Lions game, the Ryan Matthews fumble.
Yeah, it's like coaches can only do so much. Like, we are so results oriented, and like that's just how we are. I don't know. That's just the way sports is, and it's funny. It's funny. It's frustrating. And LeBron is LeBron. Like, once you become established, you're established. And I guess it's just the way the media circulates. You know, they need to come up with storylines, and they need something to discuss. But sometimes I just think we not create the narrative, but there's just nothing to talk about. Like, there. Some things go better unsaid, and there's better ways to talk. Like the Eagles. Okay, the Eagles right now, it's June 10th, right? And the Eagles are a really interesting team, I think, like, to an extent. Carson Wentz is extremely interesting to me in his second year. Alshon Jeffrey is, I think he's underrated as an NFL wide receiver. I think he's really, really gifted, and people haven't seen that exposed because he was on such a bad team in such a bad situation. And I don't really think the fans I don't think Eagles fans really understand how good this guy is yet. And I think that we will quickly. And that's really exciting to me. I don't know if a Garrett Blunt moves the needle as much as people think, but I think Alshon Jeffrey really does. I think Jordan Matthews is underrated, and people are talking about trading him and how he's only a slot guy and this and this and this. But if you look at what Jordan Matthews does on the field, and how he drops balls, no doubt about it, but his work ethic and the way he runs routes and what he's able to do as a slot or an outside receiver. And look at his numbers in 2 years in the NFL in really bad quarterback situations. He's really been a strong player. And I like Jordan Matthews a lot. I think he's an underrated player. Even Ertz gets killed here, and he's up and down. I don't love Ertz, but like, he's a solid NFL tight end. The offense is really well-rounded. The offensive line is strong, and as long as Wentz is good, the offense is really exciting. And Doug Peterson, as much as I'm not sure about him, I don't love him, I don't think he's that, you know, articulate, I guess is the word, but he's a smart offensive mind, and he really does get creative offensively. He has really nice packages. Whether it was Andy in Kansas City who taught him all that stuff or whatever it is, he's pretty creative offensively, and he did a good job last year of, especially in the red zone, short yardage, you know, moving tight ends around, doing all that motion stuff. He's good at that. And I think Schwartz is a solid coordinator. He could be in the defense. There's a lot of talent on defense. It's an exciting team for sure. There's no doubt about it. The rookies, obviously an exciting storyline, but the way we cover the Eagles sometimes is just, I don't know. I'm not trying to be like that guy, but I just think the way the beat writers cover the team, it just, we get wrapped up in the wrong things. And it's like Doug Peterson's at the press conference, for example, and they say, the question is, hey, Doug, do you guys have any interest in Jeremy Maclin right now? And he goes, no, not at this time. And that is the story that the beat writers rush. They all rush. Who can get that out first? Because Macklin's a headline, and that's the story. But first of all, one, obviously the Eagles don't have interest in Jeremy Maclin. It's June, and they have the receivers, and Macklin's 30. Two, Doug Peterson wouldn't even know if they had. And Doug Peterson's the coach. He wouldn't even know. They might not even tell him if they Howie Roseman could have signed him 10 minutes ago and Doug wouldn't even know. He was just there at practice. It's like, and what do you think Doug's going to say? He's lying. So he says no at this time, no. But he doesn't know how to answer that. Why doesn't Doug Peterson? That's when this is where Chip Kelly, I would agree with when he would get snarky because, or when NBA athletes get snarky with the media because. How could they ask that question? Like, Doug Peterson should say, hey, Steve Perry, whoever asked the question, I don't know, Jeff, Tom, I don't know. I'm the freaking coach. We just signed Alshon Jeffrey and Torrey Smith. We have Jordan Matthews under contract for another season, and we drafted two receivers. I'm going to guess we're probably not interested in Jeremy Maclin. Maybe there's a couple of extra dollars in Howie Roseman's drawer and he can figure out the cap and Maclin wants to come here. But just because use your common sense. And the fans don't, that's not interesting. That's not interesting to me. I love Elliot Shore Parks. He's actually a friend of mine and he's a good guy. He tweeted June 8th at OTAs. He tweeted, Rasul Douglas is running with the ones today. Good chance he starts week one. What? Dude, what? It's an OTA. He can tweak his ankle at any moment. That's the kind of stuff that just irritates me. I just think sometimes, and like we dictate content that the media in sports media now, it's so infiltrated. There's so many different outlets and there's so much going on that we have to be more responsible in the way we produce content because it really matters, I think, like to an extent. Obviously, it's sports. None of it matters. But to an extent, it matters. And this is what happens in the political landscape to an even greater extent. That's I can't even comprehend that. But just in sports, like we need to be a little bit more responsible. And that's why blogs like Barstool have really hit because what they do is they make fun of mainstream media. And they're doing what I do. And they're like, Jeremy, Matt, like, why is this a story? This isn't a story. So they don't have to report or they don't have to hit any traffic goals or any, you know, they don't do anything by the book. And in turn, everyone's more inclined to read it because it's real. So, like, sometimes you just need – Eagles beat writers don't need to pretend that everything matters. Like, you can – like, sometimes if you're an Eagles beat writer, you can say, like, you cannot tweet one day at practice and say, like, nothing happened today at practice. We'll report back tomorrow. Like, that's okay, too. But, like, that's not the way it works. I guess you need a certain amount of clicks or you need a certain amount. I don't know. I don't know how it works. But it's all fugazi, some of it. So, like, I think we need to be, and that goes into us as consumers, too. We need to understand what matters, and we need to sift through the important content, and I guess not. But it's too hard for people because, like, for me, and we're in the business, we're in the industry, so, like, sometimes I or you, like, we know more than, like, we think, like, oh, everybody saw that story. Like, everybody read that. Like, I don't need to talk about that, or I don't need to say that. Like, everybody knows that. But, like, not everybody's, you know, people work, people have full-time jobs, so people want to read up on the Eagles, and they read, like, I just feel bad sometimes. It's nonsense. Or like someone will read an article. I hear someone say like Ben Simmons isn't motivated. He might not be motivated. He just wanted to sit out so he can get his bonus rookie of the year so he can win rookie of the year and get more money. And I don't really know if he's motivated. And I'm just like, if I was Ben Simmons, man, I would be like, that is so unfair. Like, how could you say that about a guy? You don't even know the guy. Like, we're just, what are we doing? You know? And it's like that kind of stuff just drives me crazy. So, like, there's a way to say it. You know, there's a way to say it. Like, I'm not sure where he is. Or, like, Carson Wentz. You know, I'm not sure on Carson Wentz. That's a fair assessment. I think he'll be good, personally. I think he's a great – I think he's going to be a good NFL quarterback. But if you don't, you know, that's a fair assessment. And you can illustrate that. sometimes we just, the media just drives me crazy sometimes in sports. And like LeBron is like the biggest example, man. LeBron is the way they, we were talking about that in the break. The way they overanalyze LeBron on every play and every shot and every miss and every win and loss is just crazy. And Durant, too. The Durant thing is another thing. I disliked his decision to go to Golden State. But just because they're going to win a championship doesn't, like, validate me for disliking his reason. Like, all I did was dislike his reason for leaving, deserting the Oklahoma City Thunder. I never doubted that he's going to a better situation and he'll better off his career. There's no debate there. It's whether morally, like, you think, like, I wouldn't have done that. He just lost 3-1 to that team, and you went and joined the team. It just, it's a, the semantics, the optics are just not okay to me. That's just awkward. That's weird. Obviously, he's going to better his career and he's going to get a championship. But to me, I don't need Kevin Durant to win a championship for me to say he's a great player. He was a great player before the championship. The rest of the media and the fans do. Majority of the media and the fans need Kevin Durant to win a championship, or they'll say Kevin Durant was a great player, but he never won a championship. Like Charles Barkley was a great, Charles Barkley was a great player. He played against Michael Jordan. Like results-based. All results based. I'm still doing this rant. It's a 30-minute rant.
It's all results based. Like the Elliott Shore Parks thing. Oh, he saw him working with the ones or something. So, oh, it's week one. Definitely working with the ones.
Great example.
Yeah. Exactly.
What does working at the right? Exactly. Like he could have been working with the twos, and he still could start week one.
Right. Right.
Like the Eagles are going to evaluate him regardless of who he's working with, and they're going to decide who plays with the ones. And like if. If Byron Maxwell gets an interception, oh my God, great cornerback. But if he lets up a touchdown, he's a bad cornerback. And that is not true. That's not how you evaluate a cornerback. A cornerback's evaluated based on speed, strength, ability to cover, line of scrimmage, hands, ball instincts, understanding of the game. All those things go into it. So when a cornerback lets up a touchdown, it doesn't make him bad. That's just part of the game. You know, players get beat. Sports are sports. Mike Trout strikes out. It doesn't mean he's bad. Mike Trout can go 0-for-21 in his next 21 at-bats, but then he's still Mike Trout when he steps up to the plate on the 22nd time. 888-729-9494. I'm going to get to these questions, I swear, but these I just keep this. I couldn't get off that rant. I couldn't get off that results-based rant. Andrew Porter Show, WIP Sports Times, 12:57.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.